I'd like to thank Reverend Martin again for the words of welcome. It is a joy to be with each and every one of you tonight. It is good to have fellowship again with so many of you. Thank you for your prayers these last number of weeks, these last number of months. And I confess, before I got into the exams and I knew this date was approaching, I was preparing a message that I felt, well, I'll get ahead of these things, get ahead of the schedule, and I'll prepare a message. But during this week, when the exams had just finished, I was reading again through the scriptures, and a portion of scripture just jumped out of my heart, and I thought, well, I must preach this here, and I've been praying this week for this message tonight, and I do pray that God will bless our hearts as we seek to minister His precious word. Thank you all again for your prayer support, as well for the men's choir tonight. I was thinking they're sitting there, though I would not be able to help them with the singing, but I would like to get a tie to be a supporter. But now that that's changing, we'll have to do something else now, but nonetheless. But if you turn with me in God's precious word to the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 7, and just for a time, we'll just read two verses. We had planned to read most of this chapter, but we'll just read two verses. And I believe, again, what has been prayed in the prayer meeting by certain people, what was even sang at the men's choir tonight, certain words, certain phrases that have stood out, and you'll know this portion of Scripture well, and the men will be able to say, we've just sang about that there, and you've listened as well. Matthew chapter 7, and it says there in verse 13. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13, the word of the Lord says, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Amen. We know the Lord will add His blessing to His own inspired word. We'll briefly just unite our hearts together and ask the Lord now for His help. Our Father and our God, we come to Thee afresh just now. And Lord, we thank Thee already for what has gone in this meeting. We thank Thee for the prayers offered unto Thee. We bless Thee for the singing that has honored Thy name. But Father, we come now to the preaching of Thy word. And Lord, I need Thy help. I ask of Thee, O God, that Thou wilt stand beside me. Fill me with the Holy Ghost. Father, I pray, O God, this night, that the Spirit of the living God, that He will fall afresh. We ask of Thee, O God, that the Lord Jesus Christ will be glorified, and that He will draw sinners unto Himself. Lord, we pray this night that Thy people would leave rejoicing in Thee. We ask of Thee, O God, this night, that sinners would cry unto Thee for salvation. Ye, Lord, crown this day with Thy blessing. Come, O God, we ask of Thee, may Thy word have free course and be glorified tonight. Lord, I confess, O God, without Thee, I can do nothing. Ye, Lord, I need Thee. Ye, Lord, I need Thee every hour. Draw near, I ask of Thee, for I lean upon Thee in the Savior's name. Amen. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 onwards, there is the commencement of the conclusion of the Sermon on the Mount. That sermon that the Lord Jesus Christ preached from Matthew chapter 5 on through to Matthew chapter 7. And as the Lord taught His people and the surrounding people in that area, He started to teach in language that the people knew about. As we come to verse 13, we've read about two gates, we've read about two ways, and we've read about two destinations. And therefore, as the Lord was teaching the people, He was able to draw their minds simply to the way of life. And simply as the Lord was getting to the conclusion, He got straight to the point that there is in this portion of Scripture a way that leads to life and a way that leads to death. And therefore, the Lord presses upon His hearers that they must choose life, that they must choose the straight gate, that they must enter into Jesus Christ. Why is that there? Because the Lord mentioned that there is a broad way, that there is a broad gate and a wide gate, and sinners are on that gate, and therefore they must enter into the narrow way. They must enter into the gate, into the Lord Jesus Christ. And with that in view, I simply want to talk to you tonight with the Lord's help about the wide gate and the broad way. The wide gate and the broad way. Because there is a wide gate, because there is a broad way, therefore the Savior urges men and women this night who are lost in their sin, held guilty, deserving sinners, to come to Jesus Christ and enter in to the straight gate. I want us to notice, first of all, about the wide gate and the broad way, that there is the declaration of the wide gate and the broad way. The declaration of the wide gate and the broad way. Because our text says there, wide is the gate and broad is the way. By the words of the Savior in this message, he simply tells his believers there and the people around them that the broad gate and the wide gate exists. He declares about this gate, this way that leadeth to destruction. It is not an imagination. It is not something that's just dreamed up. It is not something that we can pass away. But the Savior declares, just as there is a heaven, so there is a hell. So there is eternal life. So there is eternal death. So souls can be washed in the precious blood and have their sins forgiven. So those who reject Jesus Christ will go to a lost hell. And therefore the Lord teaches these people here that there is a broad way, that there is a wide gate. And men and women, we must learn that tonight. We must learn this truth. We must accept this truth. We must grasp this truth. You here tonight, outside of Jesus Christ, in your sin, and you've come week after week, and time after time, and you've heard the preaching of the gospel. You've heard the word faithfully proclaimed from this place. Oh, I pray tonight that the Spirit of the living God, that he would come this night and apply to your heart afresh that there is this wide gate, that there is this broad way, and you must flee from it, and you must get to Jesus Christ for salvation. Because wide is the gate, and broad is the way. This gate is entered at the moment of birth. Therefore, by nature, all men, all humanity, are born on the wide gate and have entered into the broad way. We learn this through Scripture. Whenever Paul was writing to the believers in Ephesus, in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5, Paul says to them who were quickened, and he says to them that they were dead in trespasses and in sins. He goes on in verse 5 of chapter 2, to say, even when we were dead in sins. And as Paul simply teaches that message, as he teaches that truth of man's natural standing before God, he brings before the cause of their deadness, he brings the cause of their iniquity, he brings the cause of their rebellion. It is that they are dead in trespasses and dead in sins. And those words, dead in trespasses, dead in sins, can simply be read, that word in, can be read because of or on account of. And therefore, by nature, we are dead in sin. We are dead because of sin. We are dead on account of sin. And therefore, we must ask the question, if we by nature are on this wide gate because we are dead because of sin, lost because of sin, what is sin? Sin is the transgression of the law of God. It is rebellion against God. It is rebellion against God's holy law. We learn in Genesis chapter 2 about the fall of man. And in Genesis chapter 3, that whenever Adam was given that command in Genesis chapter 2 verse 17, that he was not to eat off that tree, for the day whereof he would eat the tree, or the fruit off the tree, he would surely die. And we know that Adam sinned against God. He ate off that tree. He took off its fruit. And at the moment Adam sinned, he spiritually died. He lost communion with God. He lost fellowship with God. And mankind was plunged into sin. Oh, before Adam enjoyed fellowship with God, he enjoyed God's presence. But when sin came into this world, man, he lost communion with God, he lost fellowship with God, and his mind was darkened through sin, because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We have this further stated in Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. And here we have this truth again about Adam's sin. By one man, sin entered into the world. And the simple word entered there, it denotes an action in the past, simply referring the day that Adam sinned. Adam died spiritually. He was cut off from God. He died spiritually in his sins. We learn as well that the moment Adam sinned, that the moment Adam died, death and sin passed upon all, for that all have sinned. And therefore, men and women tonight, you who are lost in your sin, you are lost in Adam, you sinned in Adam, you fell in Adam, you are a child of wrath even as others, you are in your sin, and because of that there, Christ says you have entered into the white gate, you're on the broad way that leads to destruction. And as Jesus Christ is preaching this message, as he's getting to the conclusion, he's simply applying the gospel message. He's simply getting to the point, showing his hearers that there is a wide gate that sinners are on, and there is a broad gate that sinners are walking, and it's leading to their destruction. And they must get off the broad way and get on the straight gate. They must enter into Jesus Christ. And therefore the Lord proclaims this message, because as he was teaching his believers in Matthew chapter 5, verse 1 of this Sermon on the Mount, as he had gathered his people or his disciples to teach them this message, others had gathered together. And therefore, as the Lord was teaching, there were those who were saved and there were those who were lost. Just like tonight, no doubt in this gathering, there were those who are saved and there are those who are lost. There are those who have their sins forgiven, and there are those still in their sin. There are those who have peace with God through Jesus Christ, and there are those with no peace, no assurance of salvation. There are those tonight, and they're heading for heaven, and there are those tonight who are heading for hell. I say tonight, there are those in this room who have entered into the straight gate, they've entered into the narrow way, and there are those who have entered in through their sin, the wide gate, and they're on the broad way. And therefore the Lord says tonight, sinner, to you, there is no other way. There is no other way. You must enter into the straight gate. And we plead with you, we beseech you in Jesus Christ, that sinner, you realize your sin, you realize you're lost, and you must enter into this gate, because Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. And therefore he declares this this wide gate, and he declares this broad way. The moment of this entrance was by nature in sin. And those who were saved tonight, we were on this road one time. We were born in sin. There's nothing different about us. We're not better than anybody else. But praise the Lord, that day when Jesus Christ, we heard the gospel message that Christ delivers guilty hell to serving sinners, and that he died on a cross and shed his precious blood that sinners might be saved. And praise the day when we were brought off the broad road and we entered into the road that leadeth to life. Hallelujah for that there. We'll never be in hell. We'll never be in destruction. But we'll enter into glory one day and see the Savior face to face and sing that story, saved by grace. He declares the broad way. He declares the wide gate. And therefore, I must be faithful in the preaching of God's precious word and declare that way to you as well. Declare your lost condition. Declare your sinful state tonight. Notice as well, secondly, there is the deceitfulness of the wide gate and the broad way. The deceitfulness of the wide gate and the broad way. It says, wide is the gate, and broad is the way. As we said, we've entered into this wide gate in our sin, shaping in iniquity.
As sheep having gone astray, we have turned everyone to our own way. And therefore, on this broad road, on this broad way, it is Satan's plan, it is Satan's desire to keep men and women in their bondage. It is his tactic, it is his plan to keep you on the road of destruction, to keep you in your sin, to keep you on that path where you will indulge in the pleasures of this world. Because broad is the way. And the whole point of the word broad, it simply means no restrictions. It means no barriers. And this broad road simply reveals that sin is appealing. Sin is accommodating. Sin is alluring. Sin is attractive. It is deceitful. It is deceptive. Isn't that right? When you drive your car down the road and you look at certain advertisements and it's for alcohol or certain things, it's put across in such a way as if you need to get this, and if you don't have it, if you're not drinking this certain drink, then you're missing out. But yet it doesn't show you the other side, that if you drink and drive, the havoc and the mess and the danger that it causes and the destruction. How as well for alcohol? I don't know if it's still about today, but when I was growing up, they started to bring out these different alcohol colors to try and make it attractive, to try and make it appealing for young people. Here's alcohol in different colors. There was blue and all these different things to make it appealing that you should have us because you're missing out on it. But it's the broad road that leadeth to destruction. It is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of the life. And therefore, sinners are deceived. We learn, don't we, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4. Paul wrote, "In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not." And here we have Satan is described as the God of this world, the God of this age. He hath blinded the minds. And notice what it says. He hath blinded the minds. It's not that he's going to. It's not that he's trying to. He has blinded the minds of them which believe not. His work on that day in Eden has continual effects even today. That sinner's understanding, their mind is darkened, their intellect has that veil covering that they will not have the gospel ministered on to them. That there is that barrier, that there is that restriction. That when the gospel is preached, that he has blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the glorious gospel shall shine in their darkened hearts. They are deceived. Did not Paul write as well in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 18? Having the understanding darkened. And here we have again the mind, the intellect, the understanding. It is darkened because of sin, that there is that veil over man's eyes. The natural mind is blinded. And he is deceived. And therefore, on this broad road, this deceitfulness of sin. Because this broad road, this broad way, is deceptive in its pleasure. You see, the path traveled is broad. That there are many pleasures to entice the eye. There is the gambling. There is the drinking. There is the casinos. There is all the dens of iniquity. On people on this road, there are those who are false professors on this road. On this road, there are people who are claiming to be Christian, but yet they live a lie. They live in their sin. They have all the world. That's why the Lord went on in this sermon after, on the verse 21, that there will be many that will say unto me, Lord, Lord. And he said, depart from me, for I never knew you. Because they have been deceived, they're following the flesh, they're following the lusts of the eye. They're following the lusts of their own heart. And they dishonor their own bodies. And they're on this broad road. And they indulge in the pleasures. They long for the pleasures of the world. And they keep going back every single day because they have a nature that's bent towards these things. We learn that this way is opposite to God's way. It tolerates sin. Humility is ignored. It's a violation of God's way. It welcomes everything against God's truth. On the broad way, as men and women seek the pleasures of this world, the creature is worshipped more than the Creator. And what did Paul say to the believers again in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2, when he reminds them of their past sin? Ye walked according to the course of this world. That's how you were before you were saved, before you were a child of God, that you walked according to the world's system, to the world's philosophy, to the world's standards. Why? Because sin had dominion over you. You were held in bondage. You were held in snare. You were held in chains. Satan had his grip over you, and you walked according to the course of this world. And therefore tonight, men and women in your sin, you're on this broad road, you're in bondage, you're in snares, the fetters have been chained upon you, and you're in this broad road, and you're deceived by the pleasures of this world, you're deceived by the drinking dens, you're deceived by the kicks you think that you'll get out of it. But what does the Bible say? The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 21, there is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Sin brings misery, not these good things. The broad road is deceptive in its popularity, because as the Lord is preaching, as the Lord is proclaiming this message, and he's urging the hearers to get to the straight way, to enter into the straight way, he's again saying to them about that broad way. And there be many there that go in. And he's simply referring again that there are those souls who are lost in sin, and they're heading on this road, deceived on this broad road. They have not the truth. They're feigning in their imaginations. On this broad road, there are people that are traveling, thinking they're headed for heaven when they're on the way to hell. On this road, it does not matter what you believe. On this road, there is the philosophy that it does not matter what you believe. It does not matter who you pray to. We're all just traveling on the same road. We're all just looking to get to the same destination, but we'll all just get there on our own wee way. On this broad road, there are many who are held there, and they think their good works will get them into heaven. On this broad road, the mind is deceived, because the many people follow the crowds. And if they see the crowds going to one place, they think that's the way to go, to follow the crowd, to go the way of the world. And the Lord's saying that there is the broad way. The broad way is also deceptive in its presumption, because as the philosophy of the broad road is, it is to be distractive. It is to take man's mind off the Lord Jesus Christ. It is to take their mind off salvation. It is to take their mind off their eternal soul, where they will spend eternity. And the philosophy is that you can live the life of your fullest, and maybe at the end of your life, just before you die, then you can come to religion, then you can come to Christ. But you just do what you want, you have all the time that you want, you have all the joy that you want, and you'll have a deathbed experience when you're lying there, and then you can call upon the Lord. That's the broad road thinking. But boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. What did Job say? Job 36, verse 18. Because there is wrath, beware lest he take thee away with his stroke. Then a great ransom cannot deliver thee. Beware. Because once you die in your sin, then a great ransom cannot deliver thee. Our soul can be required of any time. And men and women, are you prepared to meet your God? Are you prepared to meet your Creator? I say, on this broad road, they are deceptive because of the pleasures, because of the popularity, because of the presumptions that people can do what they want to do, live how they want to live, and they'll get Christ some point whenever they want to. But this road is also deceptive because of its preaching. Today there are men and women in our nation who sit under pulpits, who sit in churches where the gospel is not preached. Like the day of Jeremiah, they hear this word, peace, peace, when there is no peace. And this broad road, it rejects the gospel message. It rejects Jesus Christ. Why? Because it rejects the narrow way. Because this broad road teaches that man can earn his own way to salvation. This broad road teaches that I can earn my own way into heaven, that I can live as I please, that I can do what I want to do. And it rejects the narrow way because the narrow way points to Jesus Christ. The narrow way speaks of one true sacrifice for sin. The narrow way speaks of Jesus Christ, the mighty to save. The narrow way speaks of the one who went to the cross to be the sinner's substitute, that sinners might be saved. That who will come to him will have their sins forgiven. But the broad road does not like that. The broad road thinking is that we just live a good life, you do the best you can, and you'll enter into heaven because you're a good person. And therefore, the Lord warns the deceitfulness of the broad road. And maybe there's some here today, and you are being deceived by the standards of the broad road. You're deceived by the world. There is the declaration of this wide gate and the broad road. There is the deceitfulness of the wide gate and the broad road. But notice also, there is the destruction of the wide gate and the broad road. Because notice what the Word of God says here. It says, "For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction." That leadeth to destruction. And that word lead, that word leadeth, it simply means to lead away or to take away. And it's in the continual tense, simply meaning that those who are traveling on this broad road, it is continually leading them to destruction. Men and women, get this and know this. Every day you live, every day you reject Jesus Christ, you are one heartbeat away from hell. It's taking you every single day closer to that place of destruction. Because this road is not just leading somewhere. It's not just leading anywhere. It's not just an adventure for the day or just an adventure for the lifetime. But this road will lead you to destruction. Because this word simply refers to a place, destruction, to eternal hell. And the word there, destruction, simply means eternal ruin, damnation, eternal separation. What the Psalm chapter 1 verse 6 say, the way of the ungodly, they shall perish. And this word leadeth, like we said, it leads to a definite end. It has an end in view. Notice, this word is also used in Matthew chapter 26 verse 57. Where it talks about the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says that they led him away. The same word. They led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest. So there they've led him away to a person. In Matthew chapter 27, verse 2, says again about our Lord, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Also in Matthew chapter 27, verse 31, and led him away to crucify him. And all through the scriptures as well, it's leading to a certain place or leading to a certain person. And in this case, this road, it is continually leading to destruction. Because it says there, leadeth to destruction. And men and women on this road tonight, on this broad road, if you die in your sin, you will go to a lost eternity. You will go to a place of damnation, a place of ruination. You will go to a place where you will pay for your sin. Remember, in Luke chapter 16, about the dear man, the rich man, the man who fared sumptuously, the man who had everything, the man who was rich, the man who dressed in purple robes. And what did it say whenever he died? It says there in Luke chapter 16, verse 24, "And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments." We learn as well in verse 24, it says, "I am tormented in this flame." And there in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, because in hell there is unending torments, unending pain. It is unquenchable fire. It is unutterable pain. It is unutterable torments. It is continuous. "I am in torment," even right now, tonight. That man is continually being tormented in hell for his pain. And therefore, sinner, tonight, if you die in your sin, you will go to lost eternity. You'll be in the fire. You'll be in hell. You'll be in torments. You'll be punished for your sin. What does the scripture say? "It leadeth to destruction." You continue this road. You continue in your sin. You continue being deceived by the devil. And you will be in a lost eternity. We learn as well, don't we? Matthew 13, verse 24, "And shall cast them into the furnace of fire, where there is weeping, wailing, and gnashing of teeth." We learn in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9, "Who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord." We learn as well in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4, about hell. It is the chains of darkness. We learn in Revelation chapter 20, verse 10. Revelation says, "And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are also, and shall be tormented day and night forever and forever." And there you have it, men and women. That is what hell is described like. Separation from God, cut off from God for all eternity. I say that's a place that you'll go to if you die in your sin, if you reject Jesus Christ. You'll be in this place. And we beseech you and we plead you tonight, flee from the wrath to come. Flee this place. Flee sin. Because we don't want you to go there. That's why we preach the message. That's why we're faithful to the gospel. That it'll not be said to you that no man cared for my soul. And we care for you tonight, sinner. We pray for you and we ask you, come to Jesus Christ this night. Get away off the broad road. Don't go to that place of destruction. None need perish, for Christ hath died. Oh, this road, it leadeth to destruction. Oh, a terrible place to go. The wide gate and the broad way leads to destruction. Just think about that, men and women. You could be in this church tonight, leave this place outside of Jesus Christ, still in your sin, be taken out to God's eternity, and be ushered into torments. Finally, my time has gone. We have looked at the declaration of the wide gate and the broad way. We've looked at the deceitfulness of the wide gate and the broad way. We've looked at the destruction of the wide gate and the broad way. But I'm glad tonight that we can say to you that there is deliverance from the wide gate and the broad way. Because as you sit here tonight, and you feel your sin, and you know your sin, and you know your rebellion against God, and you know God's wrath is upon you, you know His sentence is upon you, and you sit there and say, "Oh, preacher, tonight I must come to Jesus Christ. Can I come? Am I too late?" I say to you, what did Jesus Christ say? Enter into the straight gate. And that's not just a suggestion. That's not the Lord saying, because there's a broad gate, I just want you to think about a different gate. The Lord, this is a command. It's an imperative. And the Lord is saying, there is a broad gate. Therefore, I'm commanding you, come now to the narrow gate. Come now, without delay. Don't put it off. Come right now to this gate. Come now to Jesus Christ. because he's speaking about himself. He is the narrow gate. He is the way that leadeth on to life. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way. Enter ye in. He is the door. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And men and women, you must repent of your sin. You must realize you're lost. Because except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. But the way of the righteous is a fountain of life. Men and women, tonight, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And therefore you must come to God's anointed way, God's appointed way. You must come to Jesus Christ tonight, because he is God's way into heaven. And that's why the world rejects this way, because it takes away anything to do with man. It takes away anything to do with churchianity, because it centers upon Jesus Christ. And God's way to enter into Jesus Christ is through grace alone, by faith. No other way, no other way. One way, God said, to get to heaven. And Jesus is the only way. And therefore, I'm glad, men and women, tonight, lost in your sin, on that broad road, headed for destruction, if you come tonight, if you come right now, there is deliverance from you. You can leave tonight knowing that you're on the way that leadeth to life. You can leave tonight knowing that it's well with your soul. You can leave tonight knowing that you have Christ as your Savior, that your sin's forgiven, that you'll never be in hell, that you'll never be in that place of destruction. But you must come, and it's a command to come. Because the Lord goes on throughout the portion of Scripture, and he says to them, comparing about different scenes, about the wise man and the foolish man, and he says there, therefore, in verse 24, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, and then as well in verse 26, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not, and therefore here is the deciding factor. Everybody hears the word of God tonight, but there are those who hear and obey, and there are those who hear and they disobey. They reject the gospel message. And we pray tonight that you will hear and obey, that you will come tonight to the Lamb slain for sinners. The Lord was closing this part of the Sermon on the Mount, and he was calling for a verdict, if you want to say it like that. He was reaching for souls. He was warning them off the broad road. He was showing them that they've entered into the wide gate, but they must come now and enter into him who is the narrow way, who is the way that leadeth on to life. What about you tonight, men and women? How long have you been on this broad road for? How many years? How many messages have you listened to? How many times have you sat here still in your sin? Come tonight. Come. And Jesus Christ will be your Savior, for the Savior's sake. Amen.